Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Book Buzz, the show all about books. And today we will be speaking with Jim Burba and Bob Hayes, who are the authors of the book Smart Partners, Building Successful Relationships in Business and Life. Welcome, Jim and Bob. How are you both today?
Doing great, thank you. Hi, Susanna. Great to be here.
Hi, and I'm so glad you're both here. We have so much to learn from you. Just to describe this book briefly, we have praise from Gavin Newsom, the Lieutenant Governor of California, who said of this book, "Want to be a smart partner? Then follow the stories and principles in this book. You'll learn how to pick the perfect partners, make your partnerships work, and create success in your business and personal relationships." So to begin, can you tell us about yourselves a little bit, each of you, your careers, and how the two of you came to write Smart Partners?
Sure. Well, this is Bob talking. We have been life partners for more than 26 years now, and a little more than 16 years ago, we formed our company, Burba Hotel Network, which produces hotel investment conferences all around the world. Jim's been doing this conference business for probably 35 years or so now, and I have a varied background in design and real estate, and Jim produced conferences for other people up until, you know, 16 years ago, and we kind of sat down one day and decided, instead of doing this for other people, why don't we produce events for ourselves? And so that's kind of how our business started. And then, you know, people started asking us over time, how do you guys do it? How do you live together and work together, being together 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? How do you manage that without fighting or, as we joke, killing each other? And we started thinking about it, how do we do that? And we started writing down notes, and then one day somebody said, you guys ought to write a book. And it turns out it was good that we were taking notes, because that formed the basis of Smart Partners. And over the course of 4 years, we put our notes together and came up with our book.
This is Jim speaking. My background's a bit different than Bob's. I grew up in Michigan. I went to hotel school. I was doing hotel consulting, hotel real estate consulting, and was going to do that for the rest of my life. That was my plan when I was 20, 21 years old. I was drafted into helping organize a conference for the hotel community, and as Bob said, did it for 15, 16 years, just sort of as an aside to my job. Eventually, we realized that we were running a business. We set up a company, and I realized I couldn't do it alone. And Bob knew how to make things print off the computer because I couldn't make things print. He knew how to get reports. He just knew how to do things I didn't know how to do. And so I drafted him to kind of help a little bit. And then a little bit became a little bit more, a little bit more. And it eventually became a sinkhole that he stepped into. And then we got together on a more formal basis to work. I mean, he started working more regularly, and it turned into a business partnership as well as a life partnership.
So all of it sort of organically developed, the relationship, the business, and the book.
Totally. There was no
10-year plan written 10 years ago about where we wanted to be. It just was. It felt right. It was a passion I had and a need I had to sort of have a partner in it, because I didn't know how to do things.
Yeah, and I didn't know if I wanted to be his business partner, because you hear so many stories about people, you know, family members going into business together, and it turns into a disaster. So we were a little apprehensive. But, you know, we did make it work, and part of it is because of the principles that we came up with for the book. So we follow those principles quite strictly, and it keeps us going. It keeps us thriving, and we're kind of proud of that.
Well, speaking again to the book, Smart Partners, which we're discussing today, let's talk about some of those themes, ideas, and advice. So what is the book, Smart Partners, about? What does it cover?
Aside from the story of your own. It's our story. It's primarily a business book talking about our business and the partners we work with in business. But we also touch on some of the things that we found work for us in our personal relationship because, you know, spouses are the ultimate partners, I would think. And one of the key principles that we came up with, which isn't really that profound, but you have to know who you are. You have to know yourself before you can be an effective partner with somebody else. And that means knowing your likes and your dislikes and what you can do and can't do and what you like to do and what you don't like to do. And Jim and I kind of figured that out before we came together as life partners, and then, you know, that progressed as we became life partners 20-some years ago. And that foundation of knowing who we each are, or is, are, became the basis of our business partnership. And that set us on a good foundation for going forward.
Yeah, and I would add to that. I mean, as Bob says, it sounds simple, like know who you are, know what's important to you. But over the years, we've come to learn that people that approached us for a reason to partner to do something together might have had different long-term goals and objectives than we did. I mean, it all sounds great on at first. It's kind of like when you're asked out on a date, you're all flattered about it. And so, you know, when we had a good product, we had a good reputation, albeit a very teeny company. And when people would come to us about, hey, we should partner together, we should do this together, blah, 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 we really had to, we made some mistakes. We just ran off and got married, you know, instantly with people sometimes, and things blew up. And we really have come to understand that it's important to understand as best you can what they mean by success, what do they want to have accomplished with this partnership, long-term plans, are they going to be around in 5 years, or are they the kind of people that you know, go off and do something else and you're stuck with a partnership that's dysfunctional. So, you know, we learned to kind of understand what's important to us and then try as best you can to understand what's important to a prospective partner, because if you're going to make it work, you want to be on the same page, and sometimes they turn the page on you, you know, because that really was the page they wanted to be on, if that makes sense.
It does. Let's talk a little bit more just about some specific advice or insights that you cover in the book about how to form successful business relationships and working practices. Looking at the book, for instance, a little more FaceTime, a little less Facebook. What does that mean?
Well, in this age of technology, it's very easy to get away from face-to-face interaction with other people. And we are of the belief that you have to have that FaceTime with somebody in order to be an effective partner. It's very easy to get behind your cell phone and type away madly and not pick up the phone and call people. Our whole business, our whole conference business, is about face-to-face interaction with people. They're business events, obviously, but we find that people crave that one-on-one interaction with another person face-to-face.
Maybe more now than ever. Maybe more now than ever.
Right. People have gotten so far away from knowing how to just have a conversation with somebody that's longer than 140 characters that it puts people in a disadvantage, we think, in business. And we have to work really hard with our staff here at our office to pick up the phone and talk to people. Spend an extra 2 minutes getting to know somebody rather than just sending them an email. And from what we've learned through our delegates, they really do crave that one-on-one interaction. And it's all about building relationships with somebody else.
And this may sound silly and trite, but it's not. One of our biggest rules, personal rules, because we're sitting in the same office. We drove to work together today. We're going to drive home together today. And then we're going to be at home tonight. And so that's a 24/7 sort of relationship. And people did ask sort of, you know, tongue-in-cheek, well, how do you not kill each other? How do you do that? How do you make that work? Because I love what my partner does, and I'd like to help him or her get into business, but we don't know how to do it together. And so we, just out of the sheer need to survive, came up with our own rule, personal rule, and it's called the 7-7 rule, and that is no talk about work before 7 a.m. and no talk about work after 7 p.m. so that there is a time to shut it down. And that's worked well. And so if I get home at 10 after 7, and he's home at 6:30 because we didn't drive together, and I start amping up about something going on at work, he just looks at me and says 7-7, and I have to shut up.
and just save it for the morning. Yeah, and then I just put a martini in his hand and say, here, instead of talking to me, drink this.
Sounds good to me.
Well, everybody, you know, in the book we interviewed a lot of couples and a lot of people who were in business together, husband, wife, father, daughter, that kind of thing. And everybody had the same, brother, sister, Gavin Newsom and his sister, everybody had the same sort of need to create some private space. Because when you are married or connected to somebody personally as well as professionally, it does join you at the dinner table. And work does that. I mean, and you got to find a way to compartmentalize and let each other have their own life as well, because otherwise you are totally consumed by it, you know, because you're entrepreneurs, and that's what entrepreneurs do. They do everything that needs to be done to get it done all the time. When you have two of them at the same table, it never ends. And so we put that rule in place, and it really, really, really makes a difference.
Yeah, so face-to-face communication is a good thing, but what that's saying, too much of a good thing is not a good thing. So you do have to have your own personal space as well.
Great. Now tell us, you have a chapter entitled Give Back and Share the Success. And I see that you have done this and that through your work you've contributed more than $15 million in scholarships, education, and social services organizations. Talk about the importance of sharing success now that you are successful in your business.
We just think it's real important if you can, and that again sounds simple, but you know we produce events that attract high profile people in our industry who have some wherewithal to spend the money to come and be there. And everybody's got their own pet projects and their own charities, but we just decided early on, literally, in the first of our LA events we created in 2002. To have a fundraising component for, in this particular case, it was for a school, and we've supported Habitat for Humanity, and we've supported Shatterproof and the Red Cross, and just whatever is you know seemingly topical at the time and needs some help. You know, we put on events that are fun, that help raise money for people that are in need for some, like I said, for totally disconnected causes, but all, I mean, not, they're all different causes. They're not, you know, they're different organizations. We also set up one of our events to specifically contribute money for scholarships and research. We thought, you know, let's create something that has a benefit more than just the 3 days that you're on site, and figured that if, you know, if a customer has a choice of buying a product from three or four or five people and they see one out there that's trying to do some good for an industry or cause they care about, you know, that it actually is, it could well be a marketing advantage as well. I mean, we don't do it for that reason. We do it because it needs to be done. But, and it takes extra work to do it, but it seems to be the right thing to do. And so if anybody is in a business that is in a community that has some need, whether it's kids or elderly or people that are infirmed that are within the community that you serve, why not try and find a way to help? I mean, while you've got everybody assembled under one roof.
It's part of relationship building. Mm-hmm. People like to get involved in something. They may not know how to get involved. So by doing what we do, creating these events, you know, participating, it's a way for our delegates and our customers to get involved with our help. And we're building a better future. And with our scholarship program, our one event, ALICE, the America's Lodging Investment Summit, it was set up so that a large portion of the proceeds went towards scholarships for kids. And what we're doing is we're creating a better future for those kids who eventually will become our delegates and our customers. And, you know, we're 16 years into that now, so I'm sure there are some of those kids, you know, who got scholarships way back when are now leaders in the hotel industry, and they come to our event. And
well, and if you make your community or your industry stronger, what's wrong with that? You know, so that's what we're trying to do, is just try to make it stronger, better, more robust, better futures for people, and there's just no harm in that. You know, we've done a big fundraiser a couple of years in a row at the LA conference for this organization called Shatterproof, mm-hmm. and you know, it's about addiction and helping especially kids with addiction problems. And you know, it was involved rappelling off the 27th story of a hotel building, which is kind of a unique bucket list for some people, I guess. You know, we don't know how to set up the rappelling equipment. We don't know how to do that, but we found somebody who did, and we just helped promote it. We helped make it happen. So we raised $1.5 million in 2 years.
And I think with that, we come to the end And we've come full circle about building successful relationships in business and life in your community as well when you give back and share your success. So I thank you both very much, Jim Burba and Bob Hayes, authors of Smart Partners, Building Successful Relationships in Business and Life. Thank you both very much and have a great day.
Thanks, Susanna.
Okay. Until next time.